We're going to talk about Joshua today, but let's pray before we do. Father, we just want to give you this time. We give you your rightful place here in this service this morning. You have center stage today, Lord. And we just want to feel you and sense and hear your presence this morning as you speak to us, Lord. And I also wanted to say a quick prayer for Pastor Larry and Pastor Jack as they travel and as they go, especially next week, travel to Africa, Lord, that your presence would just be with them and that you would use them mightily in your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to look at Joshua today. And I would like to tell a little story first, how I start my year. Well, you know my birthday is 1-1. So every 1-1, I get older before the rest of you. Isn't that nice? Anyway, it's been my habit for many years to hear God on my birthday. So I wait until it is my birthday, and it's 12:02 a.m. in the morning. And so I say, Lord, what is it that you want me to hear from you today for this year? And so he did. He's always faithful to give me what he wants me to hear. But this, I'm going to go back a month to December. December, as I was in my quiet time praying and reading, the Lord brought me to the book of Joshua, and he gave me Joshua chapter 3. And what I saw in Joshua chapter 3, which my eyes fell on, was the Ark of the Covenant. Those of you who are not familiar with the Ark of the Covenant, it goes back to the Old Testament when Moses was told to build a tabernacle. And the Ark of the Covenant is what represented God's presence for them. So I looked at this Ark of the Covenant and I heard the Lord say to me, it's time to listen, to be still, and to hear. And so part of that I felt for me was, you know, especially this year, because what change is coming to our church this year? We're going to be going on a new journey. We're going to be going over the Jordan River into a new land right this year. So it's going to be a little different for us, right? So that was fine. But then getting up to January 1st, and as I was sitting before the Lord at about 12:02 in the morning, I had my Bible, and I'm going to open my Bible and see, you know, if there's anything in there for him to give me. I don't ever do this and find something, okay? It's usually hearing a scripture or if I'm reading something, my eyes will be directed to that. But this was, my eyes fell immediately. It was in 1 Kings, and it had to do with Solomon when he built God's temple. And again, the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, Lord, you're trying to tell me something here. So I listened and I read that portion of scripture, but I felt that the one thing I believe God wants us to hear from him this morning is how important his presence is, and especially in our lives with him, our relationship with him. So we're going to go to the book of Joshua, but before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about Joshua. You know, there's a lot of famous stories in the book of Joshua. Not going to go so much into those stories, but more about the man Joshua. What was he like? And how can we learn from him? So the first thing the Lord showed me, I said, okay, Lord, where does this start out? What's the first mention of Joshua in the Bible? And that comes to Exodus 17:9. You know, we know he had many encounters with Moses, but the first one in Exodus 17:9 had to do with when Israel was coming up against the Amalekites, and they defeated the Amalekites. And it says here in verse 9, Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. For tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So first thing I learned about Joshua, he was a military man. He was a military leader. He led the army, right? And I found out later, like when he was in ready to cross over the Jordan, he had over 600,000 men in the military. You know, that's a lot of military. But do you know how many people there were? Probably close to 2 to 3 million people. How'd you like to have that job? You know, we get overwhelmed when we get 20 people at our house for dinner. But Joshua, you know, he was the one that was to lead the army into battle. He was a military man, a strong leader, and he worked very closely with Moses, learned a lot from Moses. The second time we see him mentioned in Scripture is in Exodus 24. And in Exodus 24, I have my little markers in here today. In Exodus 24, verse 13, it says, "So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out, and Moses climbed up the mountain of God." He was called Moses' servant, his assistant. How'd you like to be the assistant to Moses? That might be exciting, right? Was able to go on the mountain with him. He met with God. Pretty exciting, right? You know what? You know who we assist? We assist Jesus. We are Jesus' assistants. Imagine that. And we get to do things for him. And he works through us to do these great miracles. Now, it also says in Exodus 33 that Joshua often went out to the tent of meeting. And those of you that are Old Testament people and love to study the Old Testament, which is one of my favorite things to do, I just love the Old Testament, there was a tent that Moses set up. Every time they set camp, when they were traveling and they set camp and put up the tabernacle and camped, outside of the camp, it says a ways away from the camp, Moses set up a tent, and it was called a tent of meeting. And the tent of meeting was where he would go, and all the children of Israel who wanted to meet with God, they would go to the tent. And it said that when Moses went in that tent, the glory cloud came down, and the people would come out of their tents and just look, and they just loved to see the presence of the Lord. Do we love to see the presence of the Lord? Amen. We do, don't we? But Joshua, he was in that tent. He loved to be in that tent when Moses was praying. And it says that he loved that presence of God so much that he didn't want to leave the tent. He lingered in there after, you know, and I don't know what happened with him and God in the tent, but the presence of God was something that he desired and wanted in his life because he loved the Lord so much. But you know, the thing about pitching your tent far away from the camp, you know, I see that kind of as, you know, I pitch my tent with the Lord when I do my devotions with him, when I have a quiet time with the Lord. And I have to get away from the noise that's around me. How many of you have noise around you? Do we live in a very quiet world? We don't hear any of this, you know, we don't. We have noise around us. So it was important that there was a place they could go. And it's important there's a place I can go to hear God. Because where we are at as a church right now, it's very important that we hear God. You know that? We're going to have all kinds of ideas about what's going to happen next. But the most important thing is that we hear God. And that was Joshua's walk with the Lord, was that he heard God and he obeyed him. Joshua, God had his eye upon Joshua even before he knew that he was going to be a leader. And even Moses, and I just want to read something to you about Moses. In, let me find that scripture here somewhere. I think it's this one. When Moses knew that he would not be going over into the promised land, this is in Numbers 27, Moses went before the Lord, and he said to the Lord, "O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creation. Please appoint a new man as leader for the community. Give them someone who will guide them wherever they go and will lead them into battle, so the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd." You know, That is a powerful verse that we could pray right now for our church. Lord, you send us the person that you want, the person that is guided by you, led by you, called by you, anointed by you into this pulpit when it's time to fill it. Isn't that a good prayer? Grab hold of that verse. And here's how the Lord replied to his, you know, his prayer. Moses, you know, Moses didn't just say, well, you know, Joshua looks like a good guy. He follows me around. I've taught him all the things God wants me to teach him. I've instructed him in the law of the Lord. I've given him all of these things. He didn't say, well, he must be the choice. You know what he said? He said he went to God. He wanted God's man, not what he thought was the right one. And so the Lord said to him, in verse 18, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him and present him to Eleazar the priest before the whole community and publicly commission him to lead the people. Transfer some of your authority to him so the whole community will obey him. Wow. Isn't that good? You know? It says he was the son of Nun. Well, you know, women, me, a woman, I always have to have details, right? Aren't we the ones that want the details, ladies, right? And so I said, son of Nun, I wonder which tribe he came from. So I did a little search, and I found out that we know that Jacob had 12 sons, and each of those sons became a tribe. Well, the son of Nun, Joshua, was from the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim was a son of Joseph. So, you know, that connected him to that tribe. And so I thought, and the Lord always mentions things like that. Son of Nun. Nun doesn't mean a thing to me. Does it mean anything to you? No. But he had to come from somewhere. Genealogy is very important in the Bible. God always wanted his people to know where they came from, where they, who, what tribe they were connected to, you know? And now, I mean, now we are connected to the tribe of Jesus, right? We're connected to him. So as we get over to Joshua chapter 1, I've been doing a study of Joshua chapter 1, and I've read through Joshua to get a full picture of how God used this man. He was an amazing man, a great man of God. And so the first thing we read in Joshua chapter 1 is that the Lord spoke to Joshua. You know, Joshua could never have done what he did if God hadn't spoken to him. We need God to speak to us, to hear what he has to say. And so here's what he said to him. Moses, my servant, is now dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you that what I promised Moses, everything is going to be the same for you. Wherever you put your foot, I will give that land to you. Wow, that's a pretty good promise from the Lord, isn't it? He's going to give it to him from the Negev wilderness into the south to the Lebanon mountains into the north, from Euphrates River in the east and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. I want you to know that Moses was the one that received from God the boundaries of Israel, north, south, east, and west. So, you know, Joshua was taught all these things by Moses. He knew that what he was doing was not just going in to win battles, but it was that this was the time when they were going to receive the promise from God to get this land. What a wonderful time that was for them, right? But he also says down a little further in verse 7, he says, be strong and obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. So Joshua received a lot of instruction from Moses. You know, the law wasn't just the Ten Commandments. If you read the book of Leviticus and you see all the things that God gave to Moses when he was on that mountain, it was how to live in the world, how to behave yourself, all of these different things that he gave him. You know, and all of those things was something that Joshua had to bring to this generation, the second generation now that was supposed to go in and conquer the land. So he promises him that he will have success in everything that he does. But he says, here's his instruction to him. Study this book of instruction continually Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So it was, study the book. Isn't it amazing? We have the book. We have the book. We have the story of Joshua in here, Moses. We have the Torah, the five books of the Bible, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We have the book, the instructions on what we're to do. He said, meditate on it day and night. Do we meditate? You know, sometimes when I hear the Lord in the morning when I have my quiet time and he drops a nugget in my spirit, and they're nuggets, they're good, and I will meditate on that all day long. It'll just come back over and over and over and over again. You know? It's wonderful. So we know that Joshua heard from the Lord before he went in to take the land. And so the next thing that we come across is about the spies. We all know about the spies. So I'm not really going to get into that story with you. But we know that Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that came back with a good report. 12 spies were sent in. 12, they were all leaders. 12 leaders, one from each tribe, were sent in. And they came back. And Moses had said to them, go in and see how it looks in there. See if it's a fruitful land. You know, look at the people, look how they live, you know, observe. Well, Joshua said, no problem, we can do this. We can take this land. But the others came back and said, oh my goodness, you just see the giants in that land. We're like little grasshoppers compared to them. They saw, all they saw was, to their natural eye, they saw what was there. But God, through Joshua and Caleb, saw in the spirit of what God wanted to do there. There's a big difference in doing that. So in Joshua, Numbers 27, it talks about Joshua was a man when Moses was told by God that he would be the next leader. He also said that he was a man that who had the Spirit of God. How important is it to have the Spirit of God? Wow, we have it, don't we, as believers, because we know it was poured out, you know, on Pentecost for us to receive, and we have that. And this was the greatest thing that he had, was that he was Spirit-filled and he was Spirit-led. So when God spoke to Joshua about going over the Jordan, and they did, the first thing he said to him, let the people wait 3 days. You have to get them ready. We're going to make this big trip. You're looking at a big crowd of 2 to 3 million people. It's not a small amount. And think of the priests. They had to walk into the river holding the ark. And I wonder how long it took. I don't know. I'm sure it took quite a while to get all those people across. But he said, don't move until you see the ark, the priest holding up the ark, then you start marching across. Again, he's saying God's presence has to lead you across this river. God's presence had to lead them when they crossed the Red Sea, you know? And I sometimes think, why is it that sometimes we think we can make plans and just say, Lord, bless our plans, instead of saying, Lord, what is your plan? What do you want to do, Father, you know? And so when the time came for them to cross over, and they did get over there, it was some interesting. And one of the things I wanted to talk about today was some of the, you know, supernatural experiences that Joshua had. You know, this Bible is full of supernatural experiences. When our God is on the move, things happen, right? Big things happen. And so one of the things that happened after Joshua had crossed over and they were camped outside of Jericho. This is before Jericho happened. And all of a sudden, Joshua had a visitation from an angel. And just get to that part here. You know, angels were pretty common in the Old Testament. There's a lot of them that had angel visitation. Do you ever have an angel visitation? They're there, though. God tells us they're there, they're watching over us, right? We tell our children that the angels are watching over them. And so here was this angel that he had a visit from. And that's in chapter 5 of Joshua. And I want to read a little bit about that to you in verses 13 to 15. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in hand. Joshua went to him and demanded, "Are you a friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." And at this, Joshua fell at his feet to the ground and in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. What does that remind you of? Does that remind you of Moses? Moses, when he came into the presence of the Lord, had to take his sandals off because he was standing on holy ground. Joshua had pretty much the same experience. There was something else that I wanted to share with you about angels. And that was something that God had spoken to Moses about, that he would have angel protection as he moved out. I'm just going to find that in a minute. God promised him that he would have, that his angels would be with him. I don't know where I wrote that. Exodus 23 says in verse 20, this is God's promise to Moses. "See, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place I have prepared for you. Pay close attention to him and obey his instructions, and do not rebel against him." Now, this is Moses when he's ready to set out, right? And God is saying to him, "I've sent an angel before you." And here's Joshua having the same experience with this angel. I am here to instruct you. Isn't God good? He just doesn't let you go out and do your own thing. He sends his angel to watch over you and protect you. I just thought that was such a cool scripture. So here's a little something about the angel. One of the things that my mind went to when Joshua said to him, "Are you our friend or are you our enemy?" That's kind of a strange thing to ask an angel. I would have assumed he's for them, right? But he's saying, "I'm not for you or them." Now, doesn't that make you want to explore a little more? Okay, so I did a little study on that about the angel. You know why the angel said that? You know, he said to him, I am a commander in the army of God. And that's when Joshua fell down and worshiped him. So God was saying to Joshua, "You are not going to run the shots in this deal of conquering. I am, because I am sending my angel with the sword before you. And as you listen to the voice of the Lord, you'll know when you can go in, when you can fight the battle, and you're going to win it." Right? So he identified himself as the commander of the army, indicating divine leadership over the conquest. How important is it for us to have divine leadership when we're choosing, let's say, a new pastor for this church? Wow. We have a responsibility now to seek the Lord and to hear him before we go any further, right? And here's another story that stood out to me as I was reading about Joshua. After they, when they were ready to go in and take Jericho, the Lord said to Joshua, you know, after you have conquered Jericho, in chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourself will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel." In other words, everything that was like the gold, the silver, the bronze, all of those things had to go into God's treasury. God wanted those things. He didn't want them to have them. Because, you know, I think if that were the case, they probably would have been fighting over everything that was there. Right? Maybe their minds weren't right with God yet, where they would say, okay. But the thing that I saw in this too was when they sinned like that, when they didn't obey, it brought it brought trouble on the whole camp. Imagine that. Ever have trouble in your family? You ever let something come into your life and then all of a sudden it got... When we open the door, things come in, don't they? So if we open the wrong door, wrong things come in, and it can create problems for the whole family. Or the church. If we were to allow certain things to go on here that were ungodly, it could bring trouble on the whole camp. Right? Good. It's in the Word. So anyway, they defeated Jericho, and the next place they were going to do was to defeat Ai. Don't you love that God has Ai in the Bible? You know? Oh, I tell you, where would they name a place Ai? But anyway, when they were going in to do that, it says that they went to Joshua. They sent some of the men to Joshua told them, you know what? They were probably feeling really good that they had conquered Jericho. Imagine that scene, seeing walls fall down just by you blowing a trumpet, you know? It's pretty amazing. That's a supernatural act, right? And so now they're going to take Ai, and they say, you know, we can send in about 3,000 men. Piece of cake, we can do this, right? And so they did, and guess what happened? They got defeated. What do you think went wrong there? They got defeated. They lost some men. And it says that Joshua, in verse 6 of chapter 7, it says, Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay and threw dust on their heads and bowed down, face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out, O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you are going to let the Ammonites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. And then the Lord said to him, but, he said, you know, then the Lord said to Joshua in verse 10, get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen some of the things that I commanded must be set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, but have lied about it and hidden the things among their own belongings. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. This had to do with what was taken. A man by the name of Achan, when they went into Jericho, brought out some silver and gold for himself. He got greedy. This is mine. Right? So he took it, hid it in his house. Who's going to know about this? Nobody's going to know about this. Guess what? God sees everything. He's omnipresent, the Bible tells us. There's nowhere you can hide from God. He's going to know. When you do something wrong, I can go hide in the closet for a week. I'm still going to have to hear from him. All right? Okay. So they found out, and first of all, they really didn't seek God on going into Ai. It wasn't his time for that. And so then he tells them, you know, in verse 13, get up and command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. Wow. So come to find out, a little further down, then Joshua found out, Achan came forward. Whoever it is, come forward and admit it. How good are we at admitting when we're wrong, when we do something wrong? Aren't you glad you have Jesus? You can go to him. He does not hang out your dirty laundry for everybody to see. But in the Old Testament, when they did something wrong and God dealt with them, it brought shame on the whole family. And so Joshua said to Achan after he came forward, he said, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me. And of course, Achan replied, it's true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. And he said, among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent with the silver buried deeper than the rest. Can't bury anything. God sees it, you know. And, of course, it brought judgment on Achan and his family. That was an amazing story. But then after that, when you get to chapter 8, Joshua received instructions from the Lord to go in and defeat Ai. And he took 30,000 men, military men with him, to defeat Ai, and God gave him the victory. And you know what else he said? You can take the spoil from this place. Imagine that. He allowed them to take some of the things that were in there for themselves. Isn't that a good God? See what happens when we obey? So Joshua was such an obedient servant to the Lord. He was an amazing person. So we know that he conquered. This journey from, let's say, the Jordan River to when they entered the land and divided the land was about a 28-year journey for them. That's a long time. They conquered 31 kings. Think about that, 31. And then it said after that as they went into the different places to conquer, and at the end when they had conquered the land, Joshua the priests and the Levites were given the job of dividing the land. Think about that. You're going to divide the land amongst like 2 million people. Wow, that's a big job, isn't it? But God had promised them the land, and he had given Joshua and Moses, and he had showed them where they were to live in Israel. You know, that's why Israel is so important to us today, because God gave them the land. He divided them among them. That was their promised land, you know? They don't have all that land today. It's minimized quite a bit since the day of, day of Joshua and with the land that they were given. And so when they went into the land, they renewed the covenant. That was something they had to do before they went into Jericho, too. They had to renew the covenant. The covenant meant they had to have circumcision and they had to celebrate Passover. See, Joshua went into where Jericho was, and he was ready to go right into battle. But God said, no, this is me running this show, and the angel of the Lord is leading you, and you have to do certain things before I'm going to let you win these battles. So they had to do the things that were required under the covenant that God had with them. And then they were able to go in and take it. And as they did, you know, they won these 31 kings. They overthrew these 31 kings, and they set up the tabernacle of God, the one that had followed them through their journey in the wilderness in a place called Shiloh, and that is where they went and continued to worship the Lord. So this is really a fascinating story to read, because Joshua brought them into the new. God's going to bring us into something new. Do you know that in this church? I think of our pastors that we've had 25 years, and we have been so blessed by them. Not only us, but our community. You know, I think one of the greatest things that they have done for us here as a church is they united our church with the community. You know that? They did. They brought us out of this place into the community. And, you know, we're still going to do that. We're not going to give that up. We're not going to give up anything that God has told us to do. Seed's going to continue to grow well. We're going to be fruitful. You know? But, you know, God doesn't want us to look back now. He wants us to look forward. When Joshua went over the Jordan, God said, now you look forward, and here's what I'm going to take you to this place and to that place and to that place. I'm going to take you in a new direction now, and you have to hear what I'm saying to you. You have to listen. So as they got into the land, they had to renew the covenant. This is in chapter 24, the last chapter of Joshua. And they had to, God had to remind them that if they had taken anything from the past with them, even idols or anything like that, they had to get rid of them. They were going to be going into the land, possess their piece of property that God had promised them, and there were people in the land, and they said, they're going to be there when you come in, but you have to get rid of them. You can't allow those idols to stay in your land because it'll destroy your land. You know, if God is not on the throne, if he doesn't have his rightful place in a church, in a person, in a country, we start to see chaos. We see it now, right? He said, throw away the gods your forefathers worship and serve the Lord. And then he said, but you know, He brought them through the whole journey from Egypt all the way down to when they got into the Promised Land to remind them of all the things that God had done. And then he said, but you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're standing strong. Joshua was a true follower of God. He was an amazing spiritual man that loved the Lord and obeyed the Lord and took that journey with God and did everything God told him to do. And so I did a little calculation in the last chapter. It said that Joshua was 110 years old when he died. So I was trying to figure out, well, how old was he when he went into the, you know, if 28 years was spent in this Promised Land to set up all of these different places where they were going to live, that would have made him 82 when he went into the Promised Land across the Jordan. I still got some years left, you know, and some of you. 82 wasn't considered such an old age back then, you know. So then I thought, well, you know what? He was 40 years in the wilderness with Moses. He came out of slavery. Because then if you take 40 years from 82, that says he was about 42 years old when he left Egypt. So 42 of his first years in this life were spent in slavery. Isn't that amazing? God took this man, 42 years old, and used him mightily. It's such an amazing story. Thank you, Father. Read the book. And what is the whole point? Get into the presence of the Lord. You know, we're going to see change this year. And the most important thing for us as we've already started and entered in, we all have gotten over the shock, I'm sure. And now it's like, okay, Lord, what next? But I know God has a good plan for us. He has a good plan for us. He wants to move us forward. And we don't know who the next pastor is going to be here. I'm very thankful for the 25 years God has given us with Pastor Larry and Pastor Jack. I've learned so much from them and been so blessed by their ministry. And I'm very thankful. But God is calling them to something new, too. We have to remember that. We can't hold on to what God wants to do. We have to release and let him do what he wants to do with them. And so, but he's got a good plan for us. So here's my challenge to you. Remember the covenant, the God of the Ark of the Covenant, where God said, I have to be in first place. I have to take center stage in your life and in this church. And we have to seek the Lord. Pray for God to raise up the person or to bring in the person that's for him, who is called, who is anointed, and who has a vision for this church. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us Joshua and this wonderful man of God that was so obedient, was an obedient servant to you, but he also was a warrior. He fought the enemy. Thank you, Lord. And he conquered. He conquered. He's the one who made it possible. Him and his army and his Levites and his leaders, they made it possible for the Promised Land to take form because they obeyed you. They walked with you. They listened. They moved out when you said move out. They believed you when you said you will defeat this enemy. They believed you, Lord. That's all. Faith and obedience is what we need. So, God, as we venture out, Lord, we know that you are going to show us and lead us. I pray today for our board members who will be, you know, having candidates come perhaps. Maybe there'll only be one. We don't know, Father, but I pray for them, Lord. You give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding, Father. You lead them by your Spirit. Help them to pray and pray together, Lord, for you, to you, for the right decision and the right choice. Because we know you have great plans for this church, Father, and we believe that we are going to move forward with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this story and for all that you're doing. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus won the victory. He won the battle for us over sin and death, Father. And as we go to communion this morning, let us remember that like Joshua, Joshua was like a Jesus. He conquered for God. He conquered. He built the kingdom for God. And Jesus, he's the one who was able to conquer the enemy to bring us into the heavenly kingdom, the eternal kingdom, Lord, that you have chosen in your plan for humanity. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.